Men, if you're ready to reclaim your edge, listen up. I used to be held back by constant bathroom trips with multiple wake-ups during my sleep and looking for restrooms whenever I was out. Then I discovered Better Man. After just 2 months, I started experiencing fewer trips to the bathroom, less urge to go, and I even slept through some nights. I feel a noticeable boost in my overall well-being, even sexual stamina. It gives me the freedom and confidence to live life on my terms. Better Man is clinically tested and trusted by thousands of men over 25 years. Ready to take back control? Go to BeBetterNow.com to order your supply today. That's BeBetterNow.com.
These statements have not been evaluated by the FDA. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Use as directed. Individual results may vary.
It's the SNL Hall of Fame podcast with chief conversationalist Bill Kenny, featuring Matt Bardill, with special guest Andy Hoagland, and now curator of the hall, your host JD.
Thank you so much, Kirk Lane. It is an absolute thrill to be here today. It's JD Bot 2000. No, it's JD. How you doing? I hope you're great. Here we are inside the SNL Hall of Fame, and I want to welcome you in, but it's raining out, so before I do, wipe your feet. The SNL Hall of Fame podcast is a weekly affair where each episode we take a deep dive into the career of a former cast member, host, musical guest, or writer and add them to the ballot for your consideration. Once the nominees have been announced, we turn to you, the listener, to help decide who will be enshrined for perpetuity inside the hall. And that's how we play the game. It's just that simple. We've got a great show for you today, but I'm going to meander on down the hall right now to talk to our good friend, Matt Bardill.
Today, I'm headed down the hallway to meet up with resident trivia meister, Matt Bardill. I wonder if he'll notice that I switched his regular cup of coffee with scalding hot candle wax. Oh, Matt!
Ah, ow! Jeez Louise! This coffee is hot! How are you doing, JD?
I am excellent, my friend. I am excellent. What have you got for us on the docket today, Mac?
Today we are going to be talking about M&M, a.k.a. Slim Shady, Evil, M&M, McDouble M, or Marshall Bruce Mathers III. Now, height 5'8", born October 17th, 1972, in St. Joseph, Missouri. He actually grew up originally wanting to be a comic book artist, which you can see in some of his early work, a love for that kind of imagery. Helping his mom make ends meet, he worked as a short order cook and has since gone on to actually open a restaurant in Detroit called Mom's Spaghetti, starting as a promotional bit for his album Revival. He decided to keep it going and now even sells spaghetti sauce used at the restaurant online. He loves his mom's spaghetti. Now, during a promotional event for Fortnite, the video game, he actually cross-promoted the album by selling in-game cosmetics featuring mom's spaghetti. He holds 143 acting credits, 71 composer credits, 201 soundtrack credits, 23 writer credits, and 18 producing credits. To be fair, most of those credits are for music videos, but they do actually also include some video games and a few films. He has released 12 studio albums, 2 compilation albums, and 1 EP on Interscope Records, Aftermath Entertainment, and he started his own record label, JD Records. He was the best-selling artist in the early aughts, and lists his favorite film as Scarface. As of 2006, he had sold over 65 million records worldwide.
Wow.
Yeah. So that's only gone up from there. But he began his sober journey in April of 2008 and has since admitted that prior to becoming sober, he could never have imagined writing positive and supportive. He adopted his niece, who he raised as his own daughter, along with his daughter. He has numerous awards, too many to count. Grammys, MTV Music Video Awards, Billboard Awards, and more. He came second in the Rap Olympics of 1997, and is a huge Elvis Presley fan.
We call that a silver medal in the Rap Olympics, my friend. That's a silver medal.
Silver medal.
Second place. Come on, man.
Now, he once said, when I was 9 years old, my uncle put on the Breakin' soundtrack. The first rap song I ever heard was Ice-T's Reckless. From LL to Fat Boys and all that stuff. I'm censoring here. Stuff. You can imagine what he said. I was fascinated. When LL first came out with I'm Bad, I wanted to do it. To rhyme. Standing in front of the mirror, I wanted to be like LL. That's Slim Shady.
Ladies love Cool J, you know? Gotta say it. Listen, we are being visited by a gentleman this week that we haven't seen around these parts in a while, and that is Andy Hogland. Sorry, let me do that again. We are being visited this week by somebody who hasn't been around these parts that long, and that is Andy Hogland. And he is down with Bill Kenny right now. I believe they're getting ready to do a cold plunge. So, it takes years off. So, Bill, take it away.
Yes, thank you, JD and Matt. Welcome into the conversation. My name is Bill, and today we're discussing someone who is on my Mount Rushmore of musical guests. I'm so thrilled to be joined by one of my great friends, somebody who I podcasted with all the way back in the old SNL stats days, writer extraordinaire, Andy Hoagland. Andy, how are you? Welcome to the show for the first time.
Thank you, Bill. It's great to be here. You know, you're one of my favorite people in the SNL community, and you're getting me nostalgic back in the pandemic days, the glory days of the pandemic. But you've risen so far, Bill. I remember even before then, though, we used to just talk on Twitter back in the day.
Yes.
Like, and that was like post SNL 40. I feel like so. I feel like you were one of the early people that like followed me on my SNL and Review account, and we'd talk up. So we've both come a long way. You know, you definitely have you know, established yourself quite well. So congratulations.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it. And right back at you. You do tremendous work. Yeah, those early days were a lot of fun on SNL stats. And when I brought the list to you of people who were getting nominated this year and you jumped at Eminem, it made me remember one of our first or second times being on SNL stats, where we were talking about, we'll get into it a little bit later, but one of the pre-tapes where Eminem appears. And I think that was a bonding experience for us, Andy, like knowing our love for Eminem was mutual.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. It should bring everyone together, honestly. In this day and age of so much uncertainty and chaos, Eminem is one of the one through lines, which I'm joking, but I'm also not, which we can get into.
Yes, yes. So, Andy, what have you been up to? You've been all over the place with SNL 50. You do such great work with Vulture and Entertainment Weekly. What have you been up to the last few months?
Yeah, absolutely. I was able to go to some of the SNL 50 stuff, as you know. I did a big project with Vulture where we interviewed 65 different cast members and writers about their experiences at the show. I really feel like that was a unique, historic document, the way that we did it, our approach, because we weren't just capturing the same, like, Friends of Lauren stories that you always hear, like, time and time again. You know, like, I really made an effort to reach out to, like, Ebersol people and writers, you know, because it's always cast members, right? You know, so really making sure that we had, you know, like, a couple dozen different writers. You know, I think it was, you know, over a dozen people from like the early 80s, particularly season 6 as well, too. So, you know, like Patrick Weathers and Matthew Lawrence and Denny Dillon, They were able to contribute as well. So was really, really happy with the balance. You know, at the same time, we also had Amy Poehler and Cecily Strong and folks like that, Al Frank and Joe Piscopo. But was really pleased with the range there. And the different kinds of responses that we got. I thought it was really cool. I'm overselling it, but if people want to read it, feel free. I know there's been an avalanche of SNL 50 stuff, so people are probably so sick and tired of thinking about SNL 50 and reading about it. Even if you're a diehard fan like me or you, Bill, like even we have our appetite like capped, right?
No, I took it all in, and I'm not saying this just because you're my friend. But that was one of the best pieces of all the magazine articles, all the things that came out, all the different video compilations, the Howard Stern Show and things like that, that were talking to so many different people. That was one of the best pieces out there. And I highly recommend people go and watch.
Look at that. It took a lot of work, and I'm really proud of it was a team effort. You know, Meg Wright is amazing, amazing, brilliant. So loved being able to collaborate with so many different good people there.
Yeah. So,
Herschel as well, the co-writer. Yeah.
Very good. Yeah. So I know you're as big of an Eminem fan as I am. And, you know, as I said, one of the first things we bonded over, what does Eminem mean to you as a music fan?
Oh, I mean, he's an iconoclast. He's a singular artist, right? Eminem is, in my view, one of the most important artists of the millennium, you know, rapper or not. You know, he's the bridge between, you know, 70s working class rock and whatever current media landscape we're in today. You know, it's much more decentralized, defragmented, more global. You know, it's more diverse. You know, Eminem is kind of the key component there. You know, people can wax about the various themes that he brings up either in his music or simply by existing, right? You can look at him from like a socioeconomic standpoint. You know, you can get into a class discussion, you know, or talk about racism or homophobia, right? Or the white working class discontent and rage that germinates MAGA, right? Like that, right. You can step back a lot of those types of people, a lot of those kinds of conversations. Those are Eminem fans, right? It's not all great, right? But it's important, you know? You know, he took on hypocrisy in a really refreshing way back when music could still be dangerous. And I don't think that music is quite, it's not the same, right? Like,
no.
Like moms were scared of Eminem in 1999 in a way that moms are not scared of artists today. But yeah, I mean, I was thinking about, you know, Hillbilly Elegy, you know, like reading J.D. Vance's memoir. He writes this term paper, folks don't know, about his dysfunctional, you know, Midwestern, you know, clan. Back in the day, we had Eminem who was doing that, right? Through his songs. He broke a long cycle of familiar poverty and rot, you know, like his mom had been 15, her mom had been 14 when they had their kids, you know? So like Eminem, you know, is like a good version of all these like Trump and J.D. Vance elements that we see out there in the discourse right now. Sorry, I'm rambling, but what was your question? I forgot.
What does Eminem mean to you? Yeah, I think you've covered it. That's beautiful, man.
But here's my point, Bill. Here's my point. Because the frame here is, should Eminem belong in the SNL Hall of Fame, right? And you'll note he did not participate in the SNL 50 concert, right? You very, very, very briefly see him in the SNL music documentary, like for a split second during one of the montage things, which I think is kind of gets to my point I'm about to make. You know, I don't think Questlove is a big Eminem fan, right? You know, Marshall Mathers, he's an Oscar winner, right? Like he doesn't need me defending him for this podcast. He's one of the highest selling artists of all time. One of the most overexposed for a recluse. He's one of the most overexposed people on planet Earth. Yet in the same along the same lines, he's still like underrated in some ways, if that makes sense. Like,
yeah.
I had a friend text me and a buddy yesterday. You know, he's part of the Hollywood elite. You know, he's the West Coast cognoscenti that tries to dictate culture for all of us. I think he knows that. I mean that in a flattering way. But he's contributing to, you know, the New York Times Magazine's, their big project this year is a list of the 25 best living American songwriters, right? And he sent us his submission, and it's a lot of great choices. You know, Outkast, Cameron, Bob Dylan, Ghostface Killah, Jay-Z, Nas, Lil Wayne, Dolly Parton, Stevie Wonder, a lot of inspired choices, right? But to me, it is glaring that you would not include Eminem in that discussion as someone, the guy behind Stan and Without Me and Lose Yourself and so many more, like I said, iconic singular songs that are part of they're now like dad rap or whatever. But anyway, so he's still underrated, which is why this conversation is important.
Yes, he is underrated. And that is one of the most glaring moments of the beautifully done music documentary that you mentioned, that Eminem is not really anywhere to be seen. I think, as I said, he's probably in my Mount Rushmore as far as musical guests on SNL. And he comes into SNL, we talked earlier this season on the Hall of Fame about SNL's spotty history with rock and roll. You know, they don't bring somebody like Aerosmith in until 15 years into the show. U2's nowhere to be seen until the 2000s. So, but that what they lack there, they have a much better record with hip hop. So they're in early on this with Blondie coming in with Funky 4+1. You get Run DMC right as they're becoming huge with Walk This Way.
Yeah, I love Spike Lee's intro of them, by the way.
Exactly.
I watched that on SNL Reels the other day.
Oh, it's so wonderful. And yeah, and it just goes from there. You get LL Cool J and Coolio, Dre, Lauryn Hill. So by the time Eminem gets here, SNL has kind of claimed their ground with hip hop and in a good way. So Season 25, Episode 3, we get the first appearance of Eminem. This is October 23rd, 1999, with our host Norm Macdonald. Amazing, amazing show to have him back. And he's there kind of supporting Dr. Dre. So it's Dre, Snoop, and Eminem. He only does one song. He does Forgot About Dre. Nowadays, everybody want to talk, and they got something to say, but nothing comes out when they move the lip. The book is different, and everybody acts like they forgot about Dre. What do you say to somebody you hate? Why? Or anyone trying to bring something your way? One of his all things in a bloody way? Just study your taste of BWA. One day, I was walking by with a walkman on when I caught a guy giving an awkward eye and strangled him off in the parking lot with a stalking eye. I don't give a damn if it's dark or not. I'm harder than me trying to park a dive. But I'm drunk as what? Right next to a humongous truck in a new car garage. Hopping out with two broken legs trying to walk it off. F you do, take all the cops. You know, he's already big, Andy. He's, it was a big summer with My Name Is leading up to this. So to have him on the show, do you remember that moment? I mean, is that something that stands out to you as a wow moment?
Absolutely. I was a white kid in middle school in 1999. It's pure iconic. You know, first of all, Norm Macdonald, it's the perfect intro as the host. I love that Norm does it. You know, not for nothing, but, Eminem has a lot kind of in common with Adam Sandler during that period, where it's like this weird suburban rage that they both tap into. And Norm is there. Honestly, an affiliate of that to some extent. But I love his fellas, and it's like, these are just two working normal guys, these are just two regular guys. And that was part of Eminem's appeal, right? Is that he is this kind of blue collar kid. I think at this point he's on the verge of being 27. He might be 26 still, I think. What's the exact date? October what?
October 23rd, 99.
Wow, he might have just turned 27 then, because his birthday, I think, is the 22nd. I used to post on an Eminem rap message board, by the way. It was called Rap Basement. So I know a little bit about Eminem that you would think is creepy. But this is a pure iconic performance. It's Eminem, that young, young and hungry, like a younger me. I think that's off D12 world, but he's got that backwards white hat. I love just like how effortlessly funny he is. Compton, like it's just so, I don't know. It's perfect. It's perfect. And I love the beat too, which is watching these live performances, I was reflecting about how so many of them sound different than the album or the single. Like the beat is slightly different from the traditional beat that Forgot About Dre sounds like. So I just kind of thought like sonically that was pretty cool as well too. But I just love this performance. You can tell Eminem's there. He's supporting Dre, but it's hard to deny the talent, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And this is really, you know, we didn't talk about this part, but white rappers, I mean, where we're at in 1999, the list is very small. You've got Vanilla Ice and Snow, both of them not great. Sorry.
Beastie Boys had come back around a couple
Beastie
times.
Boys,
right?
Yeah, obviously Beastie Boys.
Like 94, 95.
As a group, yes. But
yeah, that's then more alt rock, like
right,
98.5 yeah. Beastie Boys.
Exactly, exactly. So nobody quite knew. This was kind of your parents' introduction to Eminem. This was, you know, older people who didn't go out and buy the album earlier this year in 1999. It's kind of along the lines of like Mariah Carey, Nirvana, Stone Temple Pilots, where the music fans know who they are, but them coming on SNL for the first time is really a seminal moment. And I think we get a lot here, as you said.
Right, right. Yeah, no, it's a great point. You know, like you think Eminem's studio debut appearance was, I think, a little bit earlier in 1990. It was like a year and change. It was like August 1998. He comes up on Kid Rock's album, Devil Without a Cause, right? So My Name Is blows up in February. I think he pops up at one of the MTV performances. But yeah, you know, SNL is a baby boomer institution, as we know. Right. You know, so this is Eminem in front of a larger audience, you know, and you're right to point out that the show's relationship with hip hop, both in good and bad ways should be noted as well.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, we're off and running. Next time we see him is just about a year later, season 26, the season opener, October 7th, 2000, with host Rob Lowe. Marshall Mathers' LP had come out earlier this year in May. It was a number one album. Going to be saying that a lot as we go through these. And he does two songs. He does Stan and The Real Slim Shady. He's also in a sketch with Jerry Minor and Horatio Sanz. So
yes.
Where do you want to start with this one, Andy?
I guess let's just start from the top. You know, the Stan instrumental, like I noted earlier, again, it's updated for live. It's not the same brooding 45 King beat. It's more vulnerable. It's a little bit more casual, which is a nice contrast. I think it's purposeful. It's a nice contrast to the dark content and the narrator's waffling mental state a little bit. It's noteworthy seeing him with Dido here. A lot of the later performances of Stan are not with Dido, obviously. He has Skylar Grey do the hook. Obviously the song was originally Dido's for Sliding Doors. So I hope that she's enjoying a nice payday for handing off her song. Thank you. But the most iconic performance of Stan is obviously unquestionably the Grammys, right? With Elton right. John. Which is my kind of long-winded way of saying that it was really refreshing seeing the original duo of Dido and Eminem performing off one another.
Think it's messed up, you don't answer fans. If you didn't want to talk to me outside the concert, you didn't have to. But you could have signed an autograph for Matthew. That's my little brother, man. He's only 6 years old. We waited in the blistering cold for you for 4 hours and you just said no.
You know, Eminem is a little less engaged here than he was during Forgot About Dre, but you got to think about how wild his year had been in between, you know?
Yeah.
He must have just been totally, totally exhausted. But still, a very cool performance and a nice kind of compliment to the more famous Grammy performance.
Yeah, I love the point that you make about Dido. This is something that we don't get a lot, not only with Eminem, but with other collaborators who don't come on to SNL. We'll see it a little bit later with another Eminem song with a very famous collaborator that doesn't come on with him. So I do love that Dido's here. And this is, you know, what a difference a year makes. He's now a global superstar.
He's not just backing up Dre. He's literally like raps Elvis.
Right.
You know?
Exactly.
More so. Yeah.
Exactly.
And Stan is such an important song, right? It's one of the like most creative songs to ever be on TRL or however you want to characterize it. You know, it's such an important song that you continue to hear. It's become a word. It's become part of the lexicon.
That's
you know.
Right.
And again, like you always hear the critics being like, well, technically Eminem didn't do it. Nas is the one that used it as a noun. And then the K-pop were the ones who made it popular on TikTok. Like everyone wants to discredit the fact that Eminem is the one that came up with the song, you know?
Yeah.
And now you hear it all the time. He created a word. And you get back to Eminem's impact. It's hard. They're not going to give him a, you know, like Kendrick Lamar, like a Pulitzer Prize or whatever. But, you know, having a word in the English dictionary is not a bad consolation prize.
Yeah. And this isn't even one of his popular songs because this only gets to number 51 on the regular Billboard charts. Obviously, it gets number one on hip hop charts.
Well, it was still a single, though. It was still a single. You know, it was the third single, I think.
And you can make the argument that this is his most famous song for everything that you just said.
I would put it on top five for sure, easily.
Yep.
Yeah.
So then we get the real Slim Shady, which, you know, he had just done weeks earlier on the MTV Awards to great fanfare. All the white guys with the bleached hair and the wife beaters coming out. Such an iconic performance for the VMAs. This is a little more understated, but it's still very, very good, right, Andy?
Yeah, I mean, I was about to say we should take a shot whenever we say iconic in regards to these performances. But yeah, I have that in my notes as well, too. I mean, again, the live band for this rendition of Real Slim Shady is kind of funky. You know, it's an interesting interpretation of the beat, which I guess is what sometimes happens when you take hip-hop beats and you use a live band. Yeah, it's not his best performance, but like you just said, you took the words out of my mouth. The VMAs is just like, you know, on the pedestal of best live performance at one of these, you know, music shows of all time, you know? So the fact that he's like doing it again a couple weeks later, and he'd been doing it, you know, on, I'm trying to think of like, if it was the bot, like he's done he had performed it a few different times. Like, let's say that on national television.
Right.
You know, but still like, I love his like cool Tigers jersey. I thought that was, you know, a nice fit for him. You know, showing love to the local baseball team. But yeah, I mean, he must have just been so exhausted. And at a certain point, we'll get into this more, but the drugs start to take a toll. And I do wonder if he was just so checked out at this point. But to your earlier, you referenced this earlier, he still appears on Weekend Update with Jerry Minor, right? You know, which I would, you know, shameless self-promotion time, like to pat myself on the back. I did talk to Jerry Minor about pitching Eminem, having Eminem come on Update, working with him with those two like old Grandmaster Flash type characters. So I would encourage people to hit the pause button right now, hit like, subscribe, but hit pause and then go check out that that Vulture interview with Jerry Minor if you want to learn more about, you know, Eminem's backstory there. I happen to remember, you know, there's so many kind of murky Eminem online fiefdoms, fan fiefdoms, right? Stans, if you will. I remember like TR Shady or I forget what they were called, but all of a sudden I started seeing like these like screenshots of my interview for the Eminem answer, like pop, like all over Twitter, all over like the Eminem Reddit and stuff. And I was like, I asked that. It's just so funny seeing that stuff get reflected back. But in this case, very cool.
So
important history.
Yes. And what do you think about this sketch? We talk a lot about musical guests kind of getting bonus points if they appear in a sketch. Now, the first 20 years or so of the show, unless they were doing double duty, it didn't really happen. Today, it's much more commonplace to get a Dua Lipa or something along that lines showing up, even if they're not the host. Do you think this is a good performance by Eminem? He's only on stage for a couple of, you know, maybe 60 seconds.
I do.
You guys started it all. I'm just here to say that maybe I should clean up my act and start rapping about throwing my hands in the air.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Hit it. We'll wrap you up and we'll wrap you down. We'll let our lyrics beat you down. They're gonna do it, do it, do it. We're gonna rap, rap, a ribbon, a rap, rap, a rip, rap, ribbon, a do. Come on, Grandmaster Rap,
and I'll kiss you down.
A rip, rap, ribbon, a do.
Hit it, boy.
Well, I'm Eminem.
and I'm here to say I love to rap in an old school way that goes rip, rap, ribbity, rap, rap, rip, rap, ribbity, doo.
You know, I've always wondered if they ever broached him about doing double duty, because he clearly has a very good sense of humor, right? We see that in the music. We see that in his interviews, especially around this time. Like, you remember 1999, when Eminem, like, took over MTV, like, he was hilarious with, like, Say What Karaoke and stuff.
Yes.
And a lot of that is drugs, but, like, you know, like, he was, like, a genuinely very funny guy. You know, which you don't see that now. He's very stone faced and removed. You know, but Eminem back then was like a live action cartoon character or something. But in regards to this performance, I think I talked to Jerry Minor about this. This predates 8 Mile, right? So it's kind of an early moment where we see Eminem acting a little bit. And what I thought was particularly special about this update appearance, beyond the fact that, like you said, it was always back then, it was like special, like a almost like an honor, like, oh, like, wow, they got the musical guest is like crossing the boundary or whatever. But what's also noteworthy about this is it's Eminem kind of showing or playing around with his love of hip hop and the kinds of rappers that he, you know, like LL Cool J and that kind of rapper from the 80s. That Jerry Minor and Horatio Sanz are sending up, right? Like, those are the kinds of rappers that when Eminem was 13, you know, listening to cassette tapes that his Uncle Ronnie gave him, you know, that's what rap was back then, you know?
Yeah, I always love these characters because I came into hip-hop.
Yeah, you'll see him a couple times.
Yeah, I mean, this is when I came into hip-hop was the track jackets and the Adidas, and, you know, that's my wheelhouse for coming into this. I was a heavy metal head before that. I still am to a certain extent, but this kind of widened my purview. I love this one. And he does seem to poke a little bit of fun at himself. So I think that's always a good thing to see. Right. And for the kids who are listening out there, MTV was a channel that played music.
Like, oh, yeah.
Yeah. Now it's just, you know, Jersey Shore, but... so then we get his third appearance, season 27, episode 19, about a year and a half later, May 11, 2002, with Kirsten Dunst. The Eminem Show had just been released 2 weeks earlier, another number one album, and he comes out and does Without Me with Proof, and that's it, except for a sketch. So what do you think of this third appearance by Eminem, Andy?
It's classic. It's classic. It's exactly what I want from a Without Me live performance, in a way that Stan and Real Slim Shady was perhaps a little underwhelming in terms of the energy. Without Me, he brings it.
I've created a monster, cause nobody wants to see Marshall no more. They want Shady, I'm chopped liver. Well, if you want Shady, this is what I'll give you. A little bit of me, mix with some hard liquor, some vodka, then I'll jumpstart my heart quicker than a shock when I get shocked at the hospital by the doctor when I'm not cooperating, when I'm rocking the table while he's operating. You waited this long to stop debating, cause I'm back, I'm on the rag and I've been lady. I know that you got a job, Miss Cheney, but your husband's heart problem's complicating. So the FCC won't let me be, or let me be me, so let me see. They try to shut me down on MTV, but it feels so empty without me.
Kirsten Dunst has a very enthusiastic, great intro. I love seeing her there.
Ladies and gentlemen, Eminem!
I love the interpolations of Slim Shady in the background. That's a very cool kind of, again, like, I'm very interested in how the beat gets updated from like what we usually hear, you know, like this is one of the biggest songs on Spotify, right? It's got like billions of streams. It continues to live on TikTok. So I appreciate hearing it be remixed a little bit. But also to that point, you know, like you kind of brought this up with Stan, you know, Without Me is, you know, arguably one of his most popular songs. And it's kind of the pinnacle of this kind of pop single, you know, that he starts with My Name Is, and then he continues with Real Slim Shady. You know, it's really like a perfect balance and embodiment with Without Me, you know, which I think is why it continues to live on in 2025 with TikTok generation.
Yeah, the amount of songs that my daughter comes to me and tells me that she knows from TikTok, and Eminem is among those. So that's a great point.
I love that. Eminem, how many artists who have their career going 27 years, you know, or really 30 years, if you count Infinite, how many artists are still popular with teenagers?
That's right. Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, this is another long song. I didn't mention that for the last appearance, but he goes 6 minutes with Stan. This goes about five. That's kind of a mark of respect on SNL too, because a lot of times, unless it's somebody who's really, really respected, like U2, Taylor Swift, getting more than 3 to 3.5 minutes is a pretty big deal, especially at this time in the show.
Absolutely. I mean, it's just a reminder how ubiquitous and big Eminem was from early 1999, particularly through, you know, 8 Mile and Lose Yourself at the end of 2002. I'd probably put the prime 99 to like somewhere in 2003 or maybe 2004 if you want to toss in some of the encore stuff.
Yeah, yeah. And this song, this is one of my side projects, and I'm always fascinated when I go back and look when a song was released as opposed to when it was played on SNL. Right. He plays this 2 days before it's released, which is really funny. This is pre-Spotify, pre-YouTube. So, yeah, it's really interesting to see that maybe people hadn't even known about this song as he was going into this appearance.
Hmm. Interesting.
And then, as I said, he's in a sketch. We get the DeMarco brothers. Andy, I don't know how you feel about the DeMarco brothers. Your mileage may vary on how much you like these.
This is Kattan, right?
Yes, Kattan and Parnell. It's hard to find online, and that's okay.
They're like auditioning dancers, right?
Right.
Yeah, and I mean, you know. Eminem doesn't see, from what I remember, it's like Eminem and Proof sitting at like a table, and, you know, it's nice that it's there. You know, I don't know that there's too much to say about it.
Not a whole lot. I mean, I think Eminem's okay here. I think his first appearance in a sketch was a lot better. This is kind of saved by Parnes's delivery. Like, these are a guilty pleasure for me, Andy. I do like these, even though they
It's important. Again, it's like crazy. It was like a coup to get someone at this level. Like, you don't have stars this big anymore. You know, like you know, Ariana Grande. Like, yeah, no, like it.
No.
Eminem from 99 to 2002 was way bigger than any star could be these days.
Absolutely.
You know?
Absolutely.
Like it's hard to imagine, like maybe like the Beatles or Elvis. Like there's not a ton that go beyond it.
I don't want to turn the Swifties against you, but do you think that Taylor is in this realm or?
She is. Yeah. No, she definitely is. That's a fair counterpoint. But I mean, Eminem, I think at his peak, you know, like Swifties, you had stands, you know, like they're the original Swifties, honestly. Yeah.
And it is a very different, you know, environment at that point. You have to go out and buy the CDs. LimeWire, things like that are starting to come into play where you can download music illegally, Napster.
I mean, Eminem is one of the first stars that you could talk about online.
Right.
Like I said earlier, like I think Rap Basement comes out in like 2000 or 2001. You know, like that's when you started to have websites pop up and message boards. Like that's, it was just the culture. It was before blogs were a thing. Like this is what it was.
Yeah.
You know?
Very, very big deal. So fourth time comes a couple years later. We don't get him until season 30, episode 4, October 30th, 2004, with host Kate Winslet. He had released Encore 2 weeks later on November 12th, another number one album. This is a unique one because his first song was a promo song to vote Bush out of office, which is really interesting to go back and look at, especially in the political environment when right now. And then he plays Just Lose It as his second song, which had come out in September. So, Andy, what do you remember about these performances?
Well, what's noteworthy about Mosh is I believe it comes right around the infamous Ashley Simpson incident. I seem to remember that Eminem was also criticized for lip syncing a little bit. And you can really see the wear and tear after 5 years of being one of the world's biggest celebrities and pop stars and rappers. You know, like Eminem is clearly in a fog, I think, during these performances.
Men, if you're ready to reclaim your edge, listen up. I used to be held back by constant bathroom trips with multiple wake-ups during my sleep and looking for restrooms whenever I was out. Then I discovered Better Man. After just 2 months, I started experiencing fewer trips to the bathroom, less urge to go, and I even slept through some nights. I feel a noticeable boost in my overall well-being, even sexual stamina. It gives me the freedom and confidence to live life on my terms. Better Man is clinically tested and trusted by thousands of men over 25 years. Ready to take back control? Go to BeBetterNow.com to order your supply today. That's BeBetterNow.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the FDA. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Use as directed. Individual results may vary.
I mean, I should have maybe noted this during Without Me, but, you know, Eminem taking on the Iraq War and George Bush at his level, I think is, you got to give him some credit for that.
Absolutely.
You know, like, I think, like, look, like the Without Me music video where they go after Bin Laden or whatever, that's like a few months after 9/11. You know,
yeah.
So if you think about like important, you know, pop culture artifacts from the post 9/11 era, you got to throw Without Me in there. By contrast, Mosh, and you see this a lot with later Eminem, fairly well intentioned, not a great song. No. You know, it's like the ideas aren't quite there. You know, the political criticism in quite the, and Eminem particularly, you know, in the first few years, could be very satirical and sharp with his political commentary. You know, like I said, he would go after hypocrisy, like, and he was equal opportunity. He would go after Bill Clinton for getting oral sex in the Oval Office. You know, like, you want me to fix up lyrics while the president gets his dick sucked? You know, like, that's the right kind of stuff that he would, you know, like ripping Hillary Clinton's throat out and feeding her sherbet or whatever, you know? And then you get to like stuff like Mosh. And you can just kind of feel the weight a little bit more. Does that make sense? Like the,
yeah,
he's taking himself more seriously. You know, so it's not a great song. I think politically his heart was in the right place, but it's not a great performance on SNL either. It clearly was time for him to take it easy for a little bit, as he's about to.
Right. Yeah. I mean, well, and that, those are great points. And this is a couple weeks before the election. And, you know, in the Trump era, it's hard to remember, but there was a sense of urgency that Bush had to be voted out by a lot of people. You know, this is coming on the heels of a lot of bad decisions by his administration. He touches on the Iraq War, AK-47s, things like that. So to do this 2 weeks before an election, to have the kind of platform that he has, as you said, I don't think it's a great song, but I do like where he's trying to go with it. The performance of Just Lose It, I do actually like, and Proof really gets his
time. Can I make one last point on Mosh really quick?
Absolutely.
Sorry. The one thing I'll say that was kind of interesting is he does make a comparison between his own upbringing without a father and George Bush's, you know, what was perceived as him going into Iraq and leading this war on terror to impress his dad.
Yeah.
And I just remember, you know, the him rapping about, maybe it was the Bin Laden part, but it's like, look at his head nodding. Like, I don't know. I found that kind of funny in hindsight. Look at his head nodding. Anyway, continue. Lose It. Terrible song.
That's great. Yeah. No, I mean, he also says, fight his own war. Let him impress daddy that way. I mean, that's yes, really, really big.
Fighting stuff. Yes.
Yes.
But continue. Just Lose It. Second performance.
Just Lose It. Proof takes control of the stage here. As you said, Eminem might be feeling a little bit of wear and tear. Proof just goes crazy here. So I actually like this performance a lot.
Yeah, I mean, it's in shout out Proof, RIP, you know, like Proof was his, you know, right hand man during so many of these performances here. You know, this will be his last appearance, I believe, at 8H, Deshaun Holden. And yeah, I mean, like Diminishing Returns, Just Lose It. You know, it's got this kind of like MC Hammer type thing going on with it, maybe. But it's kind of like wormed over leftovers or whatever. And I think Just Lose It has had some shelf life in the Spotify TikTok era. I'm curious if your daughter is talking about Just Lose It. Ah, like, yes. Does she do that ever, Bill? Does she?
Yes,
really?
Because there's actually one trending now because we watch all the animal videos on TikTok together. And there's one where basically they're shoving a fan in the dog's face and they sing Just Lose It. And the dog
yes,
goes,
my wife has shown me that as well, too. Yeah. Yes. So, I've been sending it to all the recovering stands from Rat Basement, you know. Shout out Alex Schwier. He knows. Yeah.
So, yeah. Okay. I kind of agree with you that this isn't his best work, but I do like the actual performance here.
Yeah. It's goofy. He's trying to have fun. He needs to settle down. He needs some rehab at some point.
After the heaviness of Mosh, it was fun to see this kind of go.
Fair enough.
So then it's a while, as you said, season 36, episode 10, we go 6 years without Eminem. December 18th of that year, which hosts Jeff Bridges, Recovery had come out 6 months earlier, another number one album. And he comes in and plays No Love and Won't Back Down with Lil Wayne. Now, I have my opinions on Lil Wayne, so I'm kind of clouded on this performance, but I'm interested to hear what you think of these.
Well, let me ask you a question, Bill. Would you cite Lil Wayne as one of the top 25 greatest living American songwriters?
I would not.
Okay, fair enough.
I'm not a fan. I've never really gotten him. I know there's a lot of people a little bit younger than me who really got into Lil Wayne, my sister included. But yeah, this.
You found them misguided.
What's that?
You found them misguided?
Yes. Yeah, I never connected with Lil Wayne. So, but I'm trying to look at this objectively. So,
yes. Yeah. I mean, so look, No Love, I think, was the third single off Recovery. I view this as the victory lap era, right? Like the distance between, you know, that performance of Just Lose It in, you know, November 2004 and this performance of No Love, you know, nearly 6 years later, it's an eternity in pop music, right? Like, I remember being so desperate in college for any Eminem single, you know, any guest appearance. And I'd listen to like Touchdown by T.I. and I'd be like, what is this? Like, it was a bleak time for me in terms of my romantic life, but also in terms of my Eminem obsession. So, you know, you can imagine my surprise or the thrill when he finally came back. He, you know, divorced Kim for a second time. He started to reconcile the loss of Proof. You know, he went to Brighton for rehab several times, and he finally is ready to reemerge as a voice for the people. And what does he do? He does not do Recovery. No. At first, he puts out Relapse, which is a very divisive album, but increasingly, I think, a very interesting one, and perhaps even a bold creative choice, where he is trying to process, you know, his time. It's like a 12-step album. You know, he's trying to process his drug addiction through music. And he's telling the story of his addiction through music as a metaphor. And the metaphor that he chooses in terms of the alienation that he experiences and his problems with fame and whatnot is he takes on the character of a Jamaican serial killer. And it's a very, very strange album and not a mainstream one, which is my long-winded way of saying, sorry people who are skipping over this, is you can't be surprised why he did not do the SNL media tour for Relapse. You know, yeah, like it, Stay Wide Awake would not have worked at 8H, my friends.
No.
But the next year he pivots and, you know, I think he got a little too scared about the reaction to Relapse, and he decides to do a Victory Lap album and regain his status as the pop rapper, right? So this is one of those performances, No Love. It's less creatively adventurous than his prime or even Relapse. But that's not really the point here. This is him regaining his footing, you know, and he's feeling good. He's like, I'm alive again, more alive than I ever have. Like you can feel his passion emerging again. He's maybe getting a little bit more comfortable after long years of self-loathing. So I won't comment here nor there on Lil Wayne's particular verse. I don't think it's one of his good ones. But you know, it's an important performance for Eminem because it's like he's back, you know what I mean? And Not Afraid was huge. Love the Way You Lie was huge. And this was like another feather in the cap for him. And then just one more note, Jeff Bridges is a very fitting intro host here. Because Jeff Bridges, you know, he's an elder statesman himself at this point, you know, like, Jeff Bridges has been acting for, you know, almost 40 years. And, Eminem, you know, while, you know, in terms of rap years, he might as well be around for 40 years. Right. Cause this is him. He's not the young upstart wearing a backwards white hat with Dr. Dre. You know, this isn't him, you know, Star Is Born taking on the world and the establishment with, you know, Marshall Mathers LP. This is him kind of returning and being like, it's like when you had like a rock star from the 70s and they were like middle age, still putting out music, you know, like Paul Simon, Eric Clapton. Eminem's at that phase of his career.
Yeah. Love it. I do think this is, I wish we got Love the Way You Lie here, because I think that would have been a great way to go.
But we will.
Sorry. We will. Spoiler alert.
Sorry, guys.
But again, the two songs that are very long, 6.5 minutes for the second song. So still getting the respect even after all this time. Then we don't go quite as long. It's a little bit. It's about almost 3 years. Season 39, episode 5. November 2nd, 2013, a very famous episode in and of itself with host Kerry Washington. And we get the Marshall Mathers LP 2 the following week, which goes to number one. And he plays Berserk and Survival. And this is our first appearance of Skylar Grey as well.
Yes. Yeah. Did you not want to note Won't Back Down, by the way? Did you just want to gloss over that performance?
You can't. No, absolutely. Please go ahead.
Yeah, I don't know. But just for, you know, when it comes to Eminem, you want to be a completist, right?
Yes, fair enough.
But I never loved that song. So just joshing a little bit. He seems to like it a lot, which is why I bring it up. He performed live a lot. He used to open his shows with it. Won't Back Down. And that's actually a nice bridge, a nice segue into the Marshall Mathers LP 2 era. I've not liked this era at all. Berserk is okay. It doesn't quite work for me. Survival's terrible. Terrible song. Wow. You know, like Eminem started to get into like he'd be like sponsored by like a video game to make a song, you know, and I think Survival's one of those. People are a little hard on Skylar Grey. I generally don't mind her. Yeah, I mean, this is not a great era for Eminem. It's like he comes out of his recovery with Relapse, and then he does like the, you know, the pop hit circuit with Recovery, and then we have, like you noted, 3 years, and then like the 2010s are just a very bleak period. He gets more dense, gets more lost in the words. Yeah, you know, takes long time between projects. So yeah, I've always been a little disenchanted on this particular M&M.
Yeah, I tend to agree with you. I do like the sampling here. I'm not always the biggest fan of sampling. I think it has to be done correctly, but I think with Berserk, you do get, I mean, you get the stroke and you get Fight for Your Right to Party. So two huge songs, Beastie Boys, as you mentioned earlier. So it's good to hear that.
He's a true hip hop fan. He's a true historian. I would love an M&M rap podcast where he just talks about songs that he loves.
Sounds like a new project for you, Andy. I know you have the time.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. M&M, call me. Sorry about Josh Strange. No, it wasn't. Mike Strange. Anyway, sorry. I mean, do you want to note the Kerry Washington episode?
Yeah, so this is kind of where they don't have any African-American women in the cast. So it's kind of talked about. Keenan is now deciding he's not going to dress up. Does Kerry Washington play two roles, I believe, right?
In one sketch? Right. So, yeah, as Obama. Yeah.
So, and this is kind of when we start getting mid-season hiring of Sasheer and Leslie Jones. So I think kind of an important moment in the history of SNL, kind of correcting some of the mistakes that they've made in that regard. But not one of his best performances overall. I don't mind Skylar Grey either. I think she's very fine with what she does. And I do. The other thing with Berserk, I will say, is I think it is one of the most energetic performances by M. So you know, he's really into it.
When he tried to go viral with that appearance on College Football, you know, when he was trying to like tease Berserk, you know, and everyone's like, is he back on drugs? I'm like, nah, he's just trying to be relevant. Don't worry. Right.
This is okay. Now, the last time we get him as a musical guest, Andy.
Yes.
Season 43, episode 6, November 18th, 2017, with Chance the Rapper. He had released Revival, or he will release Revival a month later in December. And we get an epic medley with Walk on Water, Stan, and Love the Way You Lie.
I can't tell you what it really is. I can only tell you what it feels like. And right now, there's still night in my windpipe. I can't breathe, but I still fight. Well, I can fight as long as the wrong feels right. It's like I'm in flight. High off of love, drunk on my hate. It's like I'm huffing pain. I love her, the more I suffer. I suffocate. And right before I'm about to drown, she resuscitates me. She fucking hates me. And I love it. Wait, where you going? I'm leaving you. No, you ain't come back. I'm running right back. Here we go again. It's so insane.
Clocks in at 8:45, and I think this is one of his best performances. I don't know. I'd love to know what you think here.
Well, first, Revival didn't go viral, as Eminem would later note. Revival is often considered one of his worst albums. It's where Eminem tries to go woke. It's where he tries to show a different side of himself beyond the Slim Shady persona. Turns out people didn't like that. They didn't want to hear him croon alongside Alicia Keys about why Trump was bad for America. I don't know. I've revisited some Revival in recent years, and it wasn't quite as cringe as I remembered it. But there's definitely some really, really bad stuff or just misguided stuff there. In terms of this performance, I remember watching this so eager because I thought we might get another song, because if I recall correctly, Walk on Water had come out, but we had not heard any of the other songs. We hadn't heard like the Cheech and Chong one or anything like that. So I remember there being a lot of online chatter about, well, what's the second track going to be? What's the second? You always do two performances, right, Bill? That's how SNL works. SNL doesn't deviate, right?
Yeah.
So much to my surprise, he does Walk on Water. And then he just does a medley of some of his greatest hits. And he leaves you. He kind of screws you on the second performance, right? So clearly, I don't know if they didn't have, if it wasn't right for planning or if he just didn't have confidence in the material. But, you know, he clearly wasn't ready for a second single to be put out there, right? So, but to your point, though, it is a nice treat to hear Love the Way You Lie, and him doing Stan. I mean, it occurred to me that only a few artists have performed the same song on SNL multiple times. That's a rare category. And that's checkmate, my friends. Why should SNL put Eminem in their Hall of Fame? They already have. He's one of the few musical guests to perform the same song multiple times. You know, Bill, you keep on talking about the lengths of the performances that they allow him, that they're giving him to do, right? Like, yeah. They're acknowledging in real time that he's a legend, right? Like, so yes. It's a no-brainer. But, yeah, I mean, I would say, like, in terms of, like, SNL hosts, the Hall of Fame should reflect the five-timers for the most part. Probably not Justin Timberlake, but other people. And then in terms of, like, SNL musical guests who should be in the Hall of Fame, one category or one criteria could easily be who's the show let perform multiple performances of the same song. It's like Eminem, Jay-Z, Paul Simon, maybe George Harrison. I don't know. Like, but that, like, it's a pretty elite company.
That's such a great point, and that is something that I definitely noted on my notes. I have Paul Simon and Coldplay are the two that really stick out to me.
Yes, is it Yellow? Do they?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, I believe so. But yeah, that is a sign of respect, and it is interesting. It was interesting the last couple weeks to go back and rewatch these and to see the original Stan performance and revisit it 17 years later, but in a matter of minutes. I think to see his evolution as an artist is really interesting to see. And yeah, I would say Love the Way You Lie is one of my favorite songs as far as ballads go. And the fact that we didn't get it in real time in 2010 always kind of bummed me out. I'm sure scheduling him and Rihanna to come in at the same time would have been too much to do. But Skylar steps in here and does a good job. But yeah, this is a good way to go out. If we don't see him again as a musical guest, Andy, I think that this is a good way to put a period on his time in SNL.
Yeah, absolutely. I just wanted to briefly note that, you know, he during the press run for Death of Slim Shady last year, he does this kind of funny AI thing with himself from 1999. He's always wrestling with his, you know, past fame and who he was as the Slim Shady, you know, peroxide hair character. And at one point, the modern Eminem is trying to justify himself to his past self, this AI apparition. And he says, "Bitch, I wrote Stan and Love the Way You Lie." And the AI Slim Shady starts slow clapping. And he goes, "Congratulations. Have you seen this? Congratulations. You wrote the national anthem for stalkers and domestic abusers."
I have not seen that. That's
Yeah. You should check it out for sure. You should all check it out. Pause, subscribe right now, hit the like button and then go check it out.
Love it. Love it. So yeah, this is, seven appearances as a musical guest. That's rarefied air as well. But it's not the last time we see him on SNL. No. We get two more appearances, one canon, one non-canon. He does a filmed cameo with Pete Davidson in the episode I referenced from our SNL stats days, Andy, Stew, which was a pre-tape around Christmas time. Eminem does show up in this and has a moment with Pete.
This Too Shady from Santa.
That's crazy. A PS5? I didn't even ask for this.
I guess Shady must have been a good boy this year.
Sorry, Stu. You up.
Do you remember this one? Is this something that sticks out as funny to you?
Yeah. I mean, it's Eminem at the point of his career where he's, you know, he's this kind of artist where it's like you're making references to songs that are, I think, 20 years old at this point or close to it. Right. It just shows that he's become, like I said, like, it's like when in the 90s, you'd see something about, you know, like Paul McCartney or Bob Dylan or something. Like Eminem is now that kind of artist where we're making references and callbacks to things that a lot of the SNL audience wasn't around for initially, right? Like a lot of the SNL's audience are like teen girls, right? You know, so, right. You know, they weren't around in 2000 for Marshall Mathers LP, right? But they love Pete Davidson.
And really neither was Pete, right? I mean, he was what, 4 or 5 years old. So,
yeah, I mean, I think that no, Pete was born in 93, right? So I think that he was probably in elementary school during like Eminem show Encore. That would be my guess. Because I think that he was, I mean, clearly he's done several things about Eminem. Like, he's clearly a real fan, right?
Yes. Yeah.
But oh, look, like, now we have like a Stan spoof. So we have two Stan performances and a Stan spoof. I mean, that's just like, guys, that's the case for SNL Hall of Fame.
That's the triple crown right there.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, let's just stop recording. Like, mic drop.
So the non-canonical one that I mentioned, Andy, is season 47, episode 21. It's the finale. We've got a lot of people exiting the show. Iconic cast members. Said iconic again. And it's Pete's last episode. He's been absent for a lot of this season. But everybody's kind of getting their moment in the sun. But this actually gets cut for time. It's Forgot About Lorne. And it's online, so you can go watch it. And it's really a full circle moment because this is the first song that Eminem ever did on SNL being parodied. And he has a great line here. I would just stop. They all suck. It's really bad. Don't fucking do it again. He calls Pete out for imitating him, and even though Pete's saying what a fan he is. Are you a fan of this one?
Yeah, I am, absolutely, for multiple reasons. It's a tribute to Lorne. You know, it's a tribute to whatever Pete's legacy is on the show. You know, I mean, we should also know that Pete had done that, like, Without Me spoof at 1.2 that does not have Eminem in it. But still, it shows that Pete was a genuine fan. You know, last year he appeared in the music video for Houdini, right? Eminem's single, last single from, or the first single from supposedly the last Slim Shady project, you know, which is noteworthy because Pete was friends with MGK, who supposedly had this big beef with Eminem. I've never been convinced that it was entirely real or whatever, but anyway, that's neither here nor there. That's for going down the rabbit hole, folks. But I like Forgot About Lorne. You know, again, it's cute, and it shows that Eminem is this. That's who he is now. He's this kind of like figure that we all know the song, and we all know who he is. You know, like, he's like that part of our lives, which is so crazy because, you know, he's kind of one of the remaining people who can do that. You know.
Yeah. Yeah, and do you think that we'll see him again? Do you think we'll see him as a musical guest at any point? You know, SNL's been very nostalgic this year, not so much with the musical guest outside of Stevie Nicks, but do you
think we got Elton John now, right?
Yeah, so do you think there's a chance that we get to see him?
I don't know, man. I don't know. It's been 8 years, right? Yeah. Besides those two pre-tapes that he's done, he totally skipped the SNL 50 stuff. Like, he clearly could have participated if he wanted to. For goodness, we got the Fugees, but we didn't get Eminem. You know, right. We got Snoop Dogg. But yeah, I mean, I think that the opportunity is probably always there. I would imagine it's whatever Eminem wants to do. That's what he does. He's going to be in Happy Gilmore too. But, you know, he just did an album last year. He doesn't do album. He does like two albums a decade. He just had a chance to do an album run, and he didn't make an appearance. You know, he could have done Houdini, and then he could have done, you know, one of the other singles, and he, you know, didn't make the choice. Maybe it's like enough is enough. You know, like, what if you're Eminem, what else can you do? I don't know is the short answer.
Well, maybe. Let me put this out there in the ether. Maybe we'll get a Sandler Eminem finale for SNL 50.
That would be fantastic. Bill, I think you just conjured that. I think that would be amazing.
You heard it here first, folks.
Yes, yes. Yeah.
So last question before you make your final case. Is there any songs that you wish he had performed that he did not perform? I mentioned Love the Way You Lie originally. Obviously, does go back and do that in his last appearance. But is there anything that stands out to you as far as...
I mean, that 2000 to 2001 run was just so untouchable, right? Like, the electricity of it. Like, I would love something off Marshall Mathers LP, like a deep cut, like drug ballad, you know? In first grade, all I used to do was sniff glue through a tube and smoke and play Rubik's Cube. 17 years later, I'm as... I'm as rude as Jude, scheming on the first chick with the hugest boobs. Anyway, Or, you know, I'm trying to think about maybe he should have brought like D12 on, you know, and he could have done one of the songs off Devil's Night, which I meant to say earlier. I think it said D12 World instead, but Devil's Night has a lot of great Eminem verses that I don't think that we, outside of, you know, purple pills, we never really saw live. You know, like schizophrenia, how many of us got it? How many motherfuckers can say they psychotic? How many motherfuckers can say their brain's dry rot up in pot? You got it like I got it or not. Like that was an amazing verse and song. So I would have loved one of those too. But I mean, I don't know, like anything would be cool. Maybe one of the Relapse tracks too. You know, because I think some of the Relapse stuff gets slept on a little bit. You know, like maybe not like Crack a Bottle, but you know, like some of those, like My Mom or something would have been fun.
Yeah. The only really huge hit that I think he didn't do was Lose Yourself. So
that's a great point. But it's like Lose Yourself is so big, he doesn't do that at SNL. He does that at the Oscars.
Right. You know? Exactly.
So that performance that he does, I think it's at the Grammys with the Roots, which I mentioned Questlove earlier. That's a pretty great performance with the free Yayo shirt.
Yes.
So maybe some of that was just timing. You know what I mean? It's like, I'm going to do it at the Grammys. Why go to SNL? Like, he performed that song so much.
I mean, we can't complain because I mentioned this a lot with musical guests. Play the hits. Like, I don't want to hear your B-sides. And Eminem typically does do that here. So outside of maybe a couple.
Survival is such a black eye for him. Like, if you wanted to make the counter argument that he should not be in the Hall of Fame, if you wanted it to be a contrary little bitch, you might say Survival, Won't Back Down, like some of these, Walk on Water, these are not good songs. These should not have been performed nationally.
Fair. Well, but your purpose here is to get him into the Hall of Fame, Andy. So here's your opportunity to make your final case. We've covered a lot of ground on Eminem on SNL. What do you want to say to the people, the voters, the people around the water cooler? Why should Eminem be into the SNL Hall of Fame?
Because there's no one else like him. You know, his 7 appearances at SNL, like that's got to be among the highest in terms of total, you know? So it's like he's got the stats, guys. Like, he's got the stats. You know, stats are what matter. You know, he's been on 7 times. You know, he's supported. He was there in the 90s. Like, it's just like he has such a crazy. He's there during, like, during his prime. He's there during his comeback. You know, he appears on Update. He appears in, you know, songs that are about his songs, like Pete Davidson spoofs. Like it's really a clear cold cut case in my view. But I defer to the people. I believe in the people, Bill.
That Andy Hoagland comes through with a slam dunk of an argument for Marshall Mathers, the Eminem, joining Paul Simon as the only musical guest in the SNL Hall of Fame. I don't know, because at this point I am convinced that everyone hates the musical guest category. But remember, when you vote this year, you have unlimited ballots. You can go crazy. You can throw them everywhere before we shut down this joint once and for all. So have at her and put in Marshall Mathers. That's what I have to say. Let's listen to a performance now from SNL. This is, of course, Eminem doing The Real Slim Shady. And you should enjoy this. And if you don't, I'm going to come and find you.
Once again, Eminem! May I have your attention, please? May I have your attention, please? Will the real Slim Shady please stand up? I repeat, will the real Slim Shady please stand up?
I think we're gonna have a problem here.
Y'all act like you've never seen a white person before.
jaws all on the floor. They panned like Tommy just burst in the door and started whooping her ass first than before. They burst with the boards, throwing her over furniture. It's the return of the, oh wait, no way, you're kidding. He didn't just say what I think he did he? And Dr. Dre said, nothing, you idiots. Dr. Dre said, he's locked in my basement. Feminist women love Eminem. Slim Shady, I'm sick of him. Look at him, walking around, grabbing his you-know-what, flipping his you-know-who.
Yeah, but he's so cute, though.
Yeah, I probably got a couple of screws up in my head loose, but no worse than what's going on in your parents' bedroom. But sometimes you wanna get on TV and it's let loose, but can't. But it's cool for Tom Green to hump a bit. My bum is on your lips, my bum is on your lips. And if I'm lucky, you might just give it a little kiss. And that's the message that we deliver to little kids and expect them not to know what a woman's is. Of course they're gonna know it in the courses. By the time they get fourth grade, they got the Discovery Channel, don't they? We ain't nothing but mammals. Well, some of us cannibals who cut other people open like cantaloupe. But if we can hunt dead animals and antelopes, and there's no reason that a man and another man can't go. But if you feel like I got the antidote, we can wave your pantyhose,
sing the chorus, and it goes.
I'm Slim Shady, yes, I'm the real Shady. All you other Slim Shadys are just in my teddy. So won't the real Slim Shady please stand up? Please stand up, please stand up. Cause I'm Slim Shady, yes, I'm the real Shady. All you other Slim Shadys are just in my titty. So won't the real Slim Shady please stand up? Will Smith though got a cuss in his rap to sell records. Well I do, so F him and F you too. Do you think I give a damn about a Grammy? Half you critics can't even stomach me, let alone stand me.
But Slim, what if you win? Would it be weird?
Why, so you guys can just lie to get me here? So you can sit me here next to Britney Spears? To Christina Aguilera better switch me chairs. So I can sit next to Carson Daly and Fred Durst, hear him argue over who she gave head to first. Little bitch put me on blast on MTV.
Yeah, he's cute, but I think he's married to Kim.
I should download an audio on MP3 and show the whole world how you gave him an MVP. I'm sick of you little girly boy groups. All you do is annoy me, so I have been sitting here to destroy you. And there's a million of us just like me, just like me, who just don't give up. Like me, dress like me, walk, talk, and act like me. It just might be the next best thing, but not
quite me.
But I'm Slim Shady, yes, I'm the real Shady. All you other Slim Shadys are just in my teddy. So won't the real Slim Shady please stand up? Please stand up, please stand up. Cause I'm Slim Shady, yes, I'm the real Shady. You want the Slim Shadys are just in my teddy. So won't the real Slim Shady please stand up? Please stand up.
New York.
Stand up. I'm Slim Shady, yes, I'm the real Shady. All you want the Slim Shadys are just in my teddy. So won't the real Slim Shady please stand up? Please stand up.
One more stand up.
I'm Slim Shady, yes, I'm the real Shady. All you want the Slim Shadys are just in my teddy. So won't the real Slim Shady please stand up?
Please stand up. Please stand up. Detroit, what?
Oh man, what a performance. That was absolutely scintillating. Marshall Mathers, Eminem, just crushing it. An exclamation point on Andy's argument? I would say so. What are Shari and Joe going to have to say on the water cooler this week? You'll have to tune in to find out. That comes out on Thursday, and we hope you enjoy that. We hope you enjoyed this show as well. On behalf of Thomas, Matt, and myself, and of course our special guest Andy, I want to thank you for showing up. And we hope you come back next week when we invite Gary Seath to join the show to nominate Schiller Vision himself, Thomas Schiller. I am looking forward to a deep education into this man who I obviously know of, but I don't know deeply. So I'm fully looking forward to Gary's passion and his aptitude for talking about the historical element of SNL. I think a moment ago I said Thomas and I meant Bill. Thomas, of course, Thomas Senna, our chief conversationalist emeritus, but Bill Kenny is the man of the moment. I also want to give credit to the David Letterman writing staff for the cup of scalding hot candle wax. That commercial parody has stayed with me my whole life, and it relates to Thomas Schiller to a certain degree. So there's that. If you would please do me a favor, and as you're leaving today, as you walk by the Weekend Update exhibit, turn out the lights. Because the SNL Hall of Fame is now closed.
Thanks for listening to the SNL Hall of Fame podcast. Make sure to rate, review, share, and subscribe to the show wherever you get your podcasts. Follow us on social media at SNLHOF. This is Kirk Lane saying, see you next week.
And such.